What was the alternative? For all the criticism that you are heaping on it, tell us what is the alternative that you have seen and heard.
The criticism that I am heaping on it is that you are heralding a record, but you're not heralding the other thing that coincides with that.
But that's what you... Well, you're here to herald, as you call it, the negatives. But in so doing, you are still being asked the question, what is your alternative?
My alternative is that you take measures, but they
what measures? Like what?
They don't have to be...
Like what? Isn't that dependent upon the state of the overall state of the economy where you find yourself? How drastic the action is. Look, if you went to the hospital and you had allowed your foot to get gangrene, there is a distinct possibility that you might lose that foot to save your life.
But the first measure.
But a lot has to do with the degree, the magnitude of the problem, how long you've had it, and how dangerous it is to the rest of your being.
Yeah, but the first measures, the doctor don't just take off your foot.
The first measures? But these first measures, let me be clear to you. If you want to suggest to us that the measures began since May the 24th, I think you would be totally oblivious to all that Barbadians have been through since 2008, when we were taxed every year. Every year, we got more and more taxation. So that and that was accepted back then as part of a program. You accepted it. You came here and defended it time and time again.
You
defended it and you accepted it. No, don't deal with the rest of Bajans. Let's deal with you. You accepted it.
But here you... Okay. You know what's really ridiculous about all this? That then, it was heavily criticized.
Not by you. You were encouraging each and every Barbadian to support it. You said how necessary it was to take Barbados out of its economic difficulties. Unfortunately, it did not work.
I understand all that. I understand all that, Miss Ellis. But I'm saying to you that when those were criticized, it was okay to criticize them now. But it is not okay to criticize it now. These are the fundamental points that I'm making.
You know, if it had been somebody else criticizing it then and now, we would see it differently. But it's you who's doing it.
Well, but I'm going to do it. Because
you are the person who's doing that.
I'm saying to you...
And that is expected.
And if you were heavily criticizing something then, how could it be criticized then? It was too many taxes. But now, it is okay. How are you going to collect...
Can you identify somebody who wasn't criticizing it then?
Did you not hear Barbie on your radio every day? Then?
Man, all I hear is your voice. Right now, the only voice I can hear is you. And let us deal with you. This brush that you're painting out there, paint everybody Barbadians. Barbadians are like, who? I'm talking about you.
No, you should not say things like that.
Why? That's painful?
Because then you know very well that Barbadians across this nation were criticizing the government St. Clair then. You know that very well.
I told you already, and I also know that your comments are absolutely no surprise, given the position that you have taken consistently over the years and the degree to which you were highly supportive of the policies. Now, you have a government that was changed in May. You want now to come down on them as heavily as possible for the short period that they have been in power. While other people are saying, you know what? It's a difficult call, and we have to give them a chance to see if they will be able to do better. Is that unreasonable?
Yeah, because what you just said does not...
Is it unreasonable to you?
Yeah, it isn't clear what I said to you earlier. I said to you, see, Ms. Ellis, I said to you, see, either you don't listen to me or you're deliberately misunderstanding me. I said to you that I've been hearing about this heralding about the record.
Okay. But you're repeating what you said before.
Right. So then you should say, then you should not go back down and say something differently.
No, but I have to show you the contrast in positions taken. You can then defend yourself. I mean, that is part of what I'm here to do, to be a catalyst for that kind of discussion.
Anyway, I'm right here. How much do you want to get sent home?
Okay.
I'm right here.
All right. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition. We're going to the Starcom Network News next. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition. I'm David Ellis. Before we go any further, here is something really interesting because it is linked to the collapse of CL Financial. A major development has taken place and has been posted online by Newsday, one of the Trinidad and Tobago newspapers. It says, a high court judge has ordered former executive chairman of CL Financial, Lawrence Dupre, to repay British American insurance company, BICO, a $122 million debt he owed to it. Justice Ricky Rahim made the order this morning in the Port of Spain High Court. Dupre was not in court for the decision. The story goes on to say that in October last year, attorneys for BICO filed a claim for the sum of $122,636,450 plus interest. And it is exactly that sum that they have been granted. The application followed a ruling by a Florida judge in July last year against Dupre to pay more than $60 million to BICO in damages in relation to the $1.9 billion Trinidad and Tobago dollar Green Island project in Florida. The application also noted that Dupre had not filed an appeal of the Florida judgment, and the time for doing so has since elapsed. The insurance company, says Newsday, had taken Dupre and one of its former executives, Chairman Brian Branker, to court, claiming a breach of fiduciary duties on their part by allowing it to pump billions of dollars into the real estate transaction, which was executed by BICO and British American Isle of Venice in January of 2008, for the purchase price of $295 million. The story also says that Dupre and Branker were ordered by Judge Eric P. Kimball of the United States Bankruptcy Court in the South District of Florida to each pay BICO $61,318,225, bringing them to a total of $122,636,450. In November of that year, the U.S. court entered judgment against Dupre for the entire sum. They also said that court documents stated that the companies had pursued the land transaction that resulted in a loss allegedly exceeding $100 million. And this loss was a primary cause of the insolvency of the companies and their multinational insolvency proceedings. So that is a major development as it relates to Lawrence Dupre and BICO. I believe that primarily would relate to BICO in Trinidad and Tobago. Of course, you know, BICO has had operations elsewhere in the region, and one would be looking to hear from people who have been associated with those operations what are their reactions to this particular ruling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, Ms. Ellis.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I am well, and you?
I'm fine. And I don't have to ask how you manage the weather on Thursday, because I listened to you all night. So I know that you was in shelter. And you have to be thankful that once again, a storm has passed us, and we are fortunate, and we've got to be thankful, you know?
Yes, sir.
But I am calling because I see a disaster approaching, a man-made one. And I wonder if you've seen it also. I heard you earlier give the impression that Barbados have achieved this quick 3 months agreement with the IMF. I want to ask a question. That means that all those folks who daily approaching the Courtney Blackmun section of the central bank, they no longer have to go there from tomorrow as the agreement has been made?
If that's your interpretation, I don't know that anything has been said on this program so far that would lead you to that conclusion. It's a distorted conclusion, I might add.
This is what I'm saying, and I don't know. Now, I know that you ever hear anybody get approved for a loan without going through all the procedures? I mean, everything finalized? Did that settle yet? That ain't settled?
Who says?
Sorry?
Who says it's not settled?
Well, I understand persons receiving letters whereby they would agree or disagree. So if you can receive a letter whereby they're saying you could agree or disagree, that means that everything is finalized. I also heard yesterday that the 17.5% on internet purchases will be put back to December. There's a lot of things that's happening that ain't finalized. So I want to know I would like to know if all of these things are already programmed to be implemented, but we are being told that they're not implemented. There's a homemade program and etc. I get it to believe that everything is already settled of what is to be done. That is what the disaster I'm talking about. Because I don't see no financial institution approving nothing without everything in place.
So you doubt very much that the International Monetary Fund has approved the loan for Barbados?
No, I didn't
the
say
support.
That.
What where's your doubt there
I
for?
I am saying that everything is already drawn up and signed. Everything, even those people going to the central bank daily, I think it is a waste of time. Because I think it already signed to be done. That is what I believe. Because I don't see the IMF agreeing to lend a country that is in financial trouble like Barbados is and approve it before all the necessary things that is to be put in place, not put in place yet, and they approve it.
Well, remember this. Even if everything is not in place, and for sure, I don't know that I can say to you that things are already signed on the dotted line as it relates to the offer which the government has made to the people who hold government paper and is only putting them through an exercise in futility and misleading them, because that's essentially what you are saying. But let me accept that it is not everything is completed. But you know what? The government has given its assurance that these are the things that it will do. But it also has to go through certain processes to get there. And that is what is happening. Now, as it relates to this offer, I think I was clear in pointing out, and that's why I brought the interview earlier with Ryan Strong, that government institutions hold the majority of this government paper. The NIS has about 40%. So if the NIS has about 40% on its own, we exclude the central bank, which government says will not be voting. But with the NIS having 40%, it will not take that much for other entities to come together and push them all beyond the 50% threshold that is required. Now, that is not something that we've hidden from you. We have been very early telling you.
Who we,
we the media.
Oh, But okay. I'm speaking about the government. I'm speaking about you.
Well, I can't speak for the government. I can just say that our role here is to point out to you what are the implications associated with the moves that have been made. And it's for the government then, if you need to have something explained, then the government explains it to you. That's how we deal with it.
Mr. Ellis, this is what I'm saying. I hope you don't take me down the road. I hear you taking some non-democratic voices. Let us be real.
I was going to leave you alone today. Because I think you're doing a very good job of just staying out there on your own. You're on your own limb. I ain't coming to push you off.
Okay. Let me explain this to you, Ms. Ellis. This government, you can't complain about them being in the media talking every day. But there's certain things that you're not hearing. And that's the frightening thing. Now, we are talking about borrowing. Now, what the IMF have just done, it opened up us now to get money from the World Bank, the Caribbean Development Bank. We're going to get money now. That is what have us in the position that we are in. Borrowing. I want the government to give me an idea how we're going to make money to pay the debt. You understand that we refuse to pay, this government refuse to pay $124 million debt. They refuse to pay. And we're getting $49 million from the IMF. that's a third of...
We're getting how much money from the IMF?
290 in 6 installments.
Okay.
I won't.
It's 290 million U.S.
Yeah, but we're getting 49 in October, which is this month.
Yes.
Only 49? What I'm saying is, if you could not pay a $124 million bill... That's the bill that we defaulted by.
You heard Professor Prasad said that overall, it's not just the IMF, but when you take into consideration the CDB, the World Bank, and the Inter-American Development Bank, it's over a billion. Somebody, it's over a billion U.S. dollars?
Somebody is fooling somebody.
How?
Because if they're going to get $1 billion in money coming into the economy, and that would be a billion U.S., why you got to go and hurt the people who take bonds and things? $1 billion in the economy of Barbados right now, with the amount of taxes this government have placed on Barbadians, you shouldn't have to pressure them people at 70, 80, 90 years old that depend and panic. Somebody is not telling us the truth. When I heard him use the one...
When you hear these figures, will you believe that the money... You believe the money is being brought into Barbados with the whole objective of paying public servant salaries and wasting it?
No.
Just hold on a minute. Before you go any further, let's put this thing in perspective. First of all, there's a certain degree of discipline that is associated with any of this money that we are getting. People are going to be policing us to make sure that money isn't frittered away, that you don't give contracts to your friends and your family and the people who are close to you and a small group of people and that sort of thing, so that at the end of the day, you have to account for it. So the discipline is critical. Secondly, you are expected to put the money into meaningful infrastructural projects and in areas that ultimately will help to bring more foreign exchange to Barbados.
That is the part I want to hear about. Because all I'm hearing from these Barbados Labour Party or government in power is that this thing with the IMF is going to help us to get loans. Loans cannot solve...
For infrastructural projects. For the roads and stuff like that. The sewage and everything.
The world is more debt.
All right, let me just read this... thing here, which says the IMF put out a release today, which says that on October 1st, 2018, the Executive Board of the International Monetary Fund approved a 4-year extended arrangement under the Extended Fund Facility for Barbados for an amount equivalent to SDR 208 million, which is about $290 million US, or 220% of Barbados' quota in the IMF. The board's decision enables the authorities to purchase SDR 35 million or about $49 million U.S. dollars immediately. The remainder will be available upon successful completion of 7 semi-annual reviews. The EFF supported program aims to help Barbados restore debt sustainability, strengthen the external position, and improve growth prospects. Upfront fiscal consolidation, meaningful debt restructuring, and structural measures to strengthen growth should put debt on a clear downward trajectory. The program will seek to protect vulnerable groups through strengthened social safety nets. Following the executive board discussions, the deputy managing director and the acting chair made some comments. So that is, in a nutshell, there was more to this press release as well, but that's the summary of it.
Let me get from there quick, because this discussion, where we are with it, my whole time up. May I ask a question? I'd like to ask you some little questions. You hear who have replaced the chairman at the sanitation yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. You hear about the 2 new appointments at transport board?
Like, who are they again now?
Okay, let me move on, because I only asking questions this to the public. But if you feel like answering them, you could.
No, but if you got the information, give it.
Do you know that we was told at the beginning of the school term that there's 110 buses on the road?
Yes.
You follow up to follow the truth?
Well, I thought that was the truth.
Oh, you thought so. Well, what I would like you to do, check out and find out if you get past 60. Let's say today.
Okay, well, that's a question to put to the chairman.
Yeah. And then I would say this here. I heard in your news item also that the union now noticing that they're losing members. You heard it.
And you say that to say what?
Well, I didn't know that the unions in Barbados, I didn't know that the worst unions in Barbados is unions. They're political organizations. When people pay their money weekly, they pay into union. The unions for the last six or 7 years was operating like political parties, and it frustrates people. And I suppose that they now notice that they're losing members. And not only that, I don't think they've seen nothing yet. By the time these measures that our prime minister is going to introduce finish, the union can be in serious, serious trouble.
You know, when you pelt rocks, you got to be prepared for people to pelt rocks at you.
I don't mind.
This person says, here, I so tired with these political yard fowlers. All they like, they want Barbados to sink further. No matter what, they're finding something to complain about. How would you respond to that?
Well, I even didn't know that I was complaining. I was asking questions.
But you don't dispute that you're a political yard fowler.
No, I will never be a political.
But you should have disputed that first.
No, but if you listen to me, to the time that I was on here, I'm telling you, if you listen to Straker
Stenergy, he must be coming next.
He's there all the time. He don't mind being a YAFO, because YAFO could go all the
way. Well, speak for yourself. Don't speak on his behalf. I won't hear you. You have a difficulty being a YAFO.
I'm not a YAFO.
How would you describe yourself, you?
I am a member of the Democrat Labour Party, the best organization ever formed in Barbados politically.
So what constitutes a yard foul in your view?
I hear everybody got there. A yard foul is why you see one thing. And I would like to get some boiling soup now. I hear the same about a yard foul, and some people say a yard foul is a person that whatever political party said is do. I never bought up from one of the people yet. Never. Because in the Democrat Labour Party, in which I'm a member, if you hear the amount of licks the Prime Minister and the ministers is getting, I don't know if people consider the other folks.
You got a chance in the last term to see them face to face and put licks in them?
Of course.
But how come you could? How come you got that opportunity?
I ain't coming to tell you. I ain't doing like, for instance, my mom, Mr. Wall, who is giving me the impression that something ain't going wrong. A true political party person We discuss his business behind the scenes. He ain't coming on with it to land base the organization they blunted.
And a true and political, that, well, a true political person would muster up all of his courage to make sure that any and every day that he gets on the air, his mission is to tear down his opponent.
No, and don't do that.
That's not what the true political person does.
Look, a true political person, I wouldn't even say like Resi, but you still got to admire Resi, because Resi leave the party and then to join the other party and attack him. But you can't tell me that he's a Dem and coming on the air and criticizing them, or use a BLP and come on with it and criticize the BLP. You do that among your members.
Yes, I understand that. But you I also want people to appreciate that when you are as committed a member of a political party as you say you are, then this is what we must expect. We must you're not fair. Once you come here on the air, we must expect that you and the other people who think like you are going to do your best to see how you can discredit the policies and the approaches of your opponents.
But Mr. Ellison, you say that you got to say something else.
Like what?
Say something that I have discredited this party for already.
At this stage, I can't get into the specifics. What I do know is that when I hear your voice, as I also come to that conclusion, when I hear voices of some people who support the Barbados Labour Party, I know what to expect. And most of the people who listen to these programs regularly recognize that as well. We do not expect from people like you any support whatsoever for anything which has been done by the current administration.
Especially when it's as bad as this one is.
Well, you know, that's so relative. We just come out of elections in May, where the Democratic Labour Party that you are a member of and that you were supporting all this time didn't win a single seat and only won two boxes in the whole country.
That is the people's choice. That ain't me.
So if you want to talk about how bad the situation is perceived, I think you have evidence there.
But Mr. Ellis, I would like you to know something, and I would like to say this now. On the 24th of May, a large group of people will get washing. And you don't worry, a tiger will come and take them from where they once was. You don't worry, they're going to get sweet back out. So you wait and see. Don't rush. I don't know what.
And amazingly, you came here day after day, supporting policies. I don't know what you told them behind the scenes, but what you were saying publicly was basically a boost to whatever they were pursuing at that point in time. And I say to you that people like you helped to pull down the very party that you say you support.
So, Mr. Ellis, that is not so, Mr. Ellis. You listen to bad stats. Miss Ellis, as I'm speaking to you, when I hear Winnie, you know, I feel for her. I would like to just be able to.
She must feel for you too.
Wait, I know you can feel for me.
She feel for you, not me. I don't feel for you at all.
I would like to just go there and embrace your whole.
Because when people like us were here saying that the people needed to be spoken with and communicated with and that sort of thing, all you got was criticism, you know? We were so opposed to the Democratic Labour Party. I mean, people like you needed to play a better role. Anyhow, that is water under the bridge. You have to deal with it, rebuilding the Democratic Labour Party now.
I'll be building back already. You don't worry about
But you sound like the same old, same old. So I can't believe that.
Same old.
I ain't hear nothing new from you.
What you want here?
I have heard nothing new from you about rebuilding the Democratic Labour Party.
You want me to tell you who's going to be the next leader of the party?
No, I think you got a leader right now. I accept that you have a leader. So I don't know that I want you to get into any crystal ball now and tell me who's going to be the next one.
No, just take it easy. I told you a good few was ashore, and they're going to go back from where they came. Don't worry about it. You don't worry. Everything
takes time. We did this weekend, Alvin.
We did?
Mm-hmm.
I was at home every day.
You talked to Straker Sanitary this weekend?
If I speak to him?
You spoke to him this weekend?
But he called me Sunday. I don't even know how he got my number. He called me Sunday. Wait, it's Thursday? I think it's Thursday. Why you ask that?
You call him too? From time to time?
Listen, let me tell you something to make it simple for you that you don't stick from straight to standard tree. 6-18 months ago, so when I start calling bastards, nearly all the callers get my number. I don't know how. Even Mark. But he stopped calling me because he put me in court, you know? But all of them get, so don't go to Onis Straker. Miss Undecided, all the men call their names. I call the two of them because I know the two of them won't be annoyed I call their name.
But I want the public of Barbados to realize how party supporters, how the party supporters is operate.
So
they call each other and they basically orchestrate what they're going to say, how they're going to talk, what the issues will be. I bet you Straker's Tenantry called me before this program finished.
You betting?
And I bet you it was based to a large extent. He can come with a line that ain't inconsistent from the line that you took up today.
I don't even know what Straker said. He gone away or not? I don't know if he gone away.
You play ignorance. You go along.
Well, let someone else get on, Miss Ellis. You have a good day.
All right. Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello. Good day, sir.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I really had decided I wouldn't do a lot of calling, but I was forced because I heard a gentleman was talking about draconian measures that the present government is introducing to the people of Barbados. I heard you spoke to him about the high taxation within the past 10 years. What I thought is that that you would have probably said to him that it was $22.5 billion in the last 10 years that was imposed in taxation on Barbados. In addition, the poorest people or the lowest paid people in this country were getting $1,300 reverse tax credit. And the Minister of Finance cut it by half. Then, since 2014, people have not got their income tax return. But at the same time, if you had paid or put in your income tax return late for $400, you had to pay $500 for late filing. You know, I'm wondering if these people who speak of these measures that have been presently introduced could be draconian or more draconian than what we poor people in this country have suffered in the past 10 years. That is all I want to say, sir.
Okay. That's your view. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, welcome.
Okay. My concern is about the IMF.
You called about buses again today? And it the public transport?
It's not about taxes. It's about that political party after political party, which have formed successive government, have failed to stem the increasing gun violence that has been happening in this country.
Fair enough.
We have laws, fines, I think in excess of $250,000. I have never heard of anyone, I said, being fined that amount. I have read the newspaper of people can be a charged and getting 12 months in jail, and people who commit some more serious offenses, whether it's gun related or otherwise, getting bail. Right? This place is a joke. And politicians have been playing draft with people's lives. I personally am sick and tired of the Barbados Labour Party and the Democrat Labour Party. I remember on the Barbados Labour Party when there was a lot of violence, they had a campaign by the Democrat Labour Party claiming violence. When they got there, things got worse. I label it then violence and crime. Now, the same thing seems to be happening all over again. Why is that the laws, the fines, and the penalties, why aren't they enforced? That's why we want to know why. Every day, they hear about these violent crimes. I think I said sciences. I will bet you, David, that if a big boy in society was going through what these poor people are going through, something will be done about it in a hurry. In a hurry. I mean, you can't ever get over and sit down now before looking over your shoulder. This will be counter. Have we got laws there that supposedly were put there to protect people and they are not being used?
Well, I want to say to you that you touch on an issue that exists in this country irrespective of which party is in office. It has a political dimension, though, because when you are the government, if there's a perception that there is too high an incidence of crime generally, and in particular gun violence, then the society starts to cry out and it starts to pressurize the political bosses to try to find solutions to the problem. As it stands right now, Barbados really appears to have no real solution to it. We are not alone in it, but we are fighting. It seems as though we are fighting a futile war against this kind of behavior. Indeed, one of the dangers is that when some of the people involved in the gangs and the drugs kill one another, there is an undercurrent of acceptance of that, to say, well, let them kill each other. We don't worry about that. We forget that we could find situations such as this one here in St. Lucie, where innocent people have to run from their homes because they fear reprisals in those areas. And if we do not find a way to arrest this, it is going to undermine our positive efforts in other areas. And it is not about punishment alone. It is about trying to get into these communities, some of them, and try to understand exactly what has gone wrong. Not enough attention has been paid to that. And it is far more complex than locking up people and beating them. And that's why it is so challenging. Because people have reached the stage where they essentially say, look, lock me up. Throw away the key. I don't mind. You saw the other day there was a case there with a guy says, don't send me to the mental. Send me to Dodds because my friend's up there. He's at home.
See? You see? Now, I think one of the things we need to find out, because I've been here a little man with a AK-47. We need to find out the avenues in which these guns are coming. Who built the avenue to which these guns? We need to find out that. It's not only the shooter that we have to get at. We have to get at the suppliers too. Now tell me where that poor man can get money to buy an AK-47.
You can rent it. You don't have
that
to buy it.
Too? Well, find out who you're renting it from. Then we have a reverse domino effect. But this thing cannot go on. People are scared. No, I heard that lady talking today on your program about her child being a cricket and don't want to go back. A little child that should be enjoying his childhood is being terrorized. These things cannot be right. If the one
with the problem, if you want to talk like that, go in your rum shop or someplace and talk like that. But you can't do that on the air. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon.
Yes, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Good afternoon, yes.
How are you?
I'm well.
You know, I just call in to talk about this gunplay, about this Barbados.
Yeah.
Actually, every day you're hearing about gunplay in this Barbados. And I'm wondering, if the PM, she can get together with the Royal Barbados Police Force and bring out those soldiers that sitting down in there eating and getting big and help curb this lawless act when the days of months come. It is so, so sad. And let me tell you something. The gun's not only coming by the little people. It got to be somebody that hide it, they're hiding behind. You know, it's real sad. We call it trouble areas. Bring out the soldiers alongside the police and let them man those areas. Imagine we depend on the tourist dollar. And things like those, you know, them lawless things happening. You know, one day we will be in mid-ocean without a lifeboat. Get the bloody areas clean up, knock down the old benches and the old tables that got set up by the road. Because they passed Crab Hill one day and everybody has a screw face. Everybody has a screw face. You can approach them even if you wanted to find out if where somebody lives, because you don't know when you will get your head blow off. I mean, you can imagine people got guns on a table. Serious crimes and they're putting them out on bail. And they're coming out and doing the same thing. It is so sad. I heard a man on television a night late last week talking about the guys in Jamaica that got murdered and would like the bodies back here. But let me tell you something. Anytime that this government get drunk and bring them bodies, I'm sick and tired over there now. Sick and tired to take that taxpayers' money. People working so hard. They didn't even get by the national, the money from income tax return, and then want people to bring corpses. No.
How has all of this changed your life?
I got a son on November the 3rd. 5 years he got murdered. Got shot on my step. Police came to me twice and didn't come back yet, Ellis. They said the man in charge got all these things. And all like, no, nobody come back.
And how has that changed your life?
It changed me to a point where you do.
So it has made you. It has made you cry for vengeance.
Yes.
Okay, but this system hasn't given you that. Nobody has been held for your son's murder.
No. And they're just telling me, oh, that's years now, you know. November, they said it would be 5 years.
5 years.
5 years, they said November.
And how old was your son at the time? How old was your son at the time?
35. And they're messing about the place. I don't know if the authorities fighting for these miscreants or would have got holding for them.
Is it possible that your son was with bad company, and as a consequence of that, some people feel if you die, you die. You know, you live the
and
way
they
you
know
die.
They know the circumstances, but they will put things in the own way.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
But let the authorities threaten to go and apprehend the miscreants. I'm very sorry for that, because they will be encouraging it. You got a lot of big officials from that know who the people are that live down there. And you can tell me that.
But your son was killed in that general area too?
No, in Prospect.
Okay.
And you're going to tell me that you know the people. You can imagine you're going to slap a commissioner of police in the face and only know nobody and get. You don't put no time for nobody to talk about. We're not just playing with the system. People are supposed to smoke a little spliff. They put it up in doors for long. A man going and kill another man. He got bail and he come out and go back and kill again. All this kind of thing. I know it's going to run this country down, because no tourists hearing about it and seeing it happening and reading about it. It is going to be sad for this country. Let the ministers get out, let me tell you something, and do some groundwork here. If not, Mr. Ellis, blessed be the day that we had a Barbados. I'm serious.
Well, I think your experience has played a critical role in influencing the passion with which you have spoken here today.
Yeah,
a lot of other people out there are worried about it. I mean, you know, there are some things that are happening here, and you can rest assured that there will be reprisals and that sort of thing. And it is as if it cannot be stopped.
You've got to get to the root of this thing, and the big guns, you would tell me a big a shoot up there last week in the Orleans and Chapman Lane, and only one 18-year-old boy held for that and said about all these big boat guns, and only one little fella held for that. For all the big brand name guns. I listen, I laugh at that. Big people behind that.
Well, the truth of the matter is that, you know, the way that the society is structured, people don't always begin big, you know. You can start small and become big, a big player as well. So, I mean, and size means that you become influential in being able to get favors done and people to turn a blind eye and that sort of thing. And I would suggest to you that it is far bigger than a lot of people realize, because if you are looking to get as much money as you can, especially in tough times, you're gonna some people are going to turn a blind eye. Some people are going to become more involved, and it becomes a very, very difficult environment in which we are operating. Today, there are some places where people will see things and tell you, I haven't seen it. It didn't happen while I was there. I don't know what you're talking about. Because apart from trying to get something out of it, there is also that increase in fear. And that's where we are today. I thank you very much for calling. And I was saying in the earlier part of the program that I was surprised that people weren't talking about this situation more. You've come and you've capped it off by being the final caller today, but touching on a most sensitive issue and speaking to it in your own eloquent way. All right, that's it for today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis. I want to thank you on behalf of Dennis Johnson, my technical operator and producer today. Do have a great afternoon.